it became just more clear, like the pillar of that, you know, that this family establishment is to the community. You know, to have a long-standing restaurant still serving authentic food in this community that has gone through many changes, people are shocked when they walk in. They can't believe that we've been there for so long. So it's a pillar in the community. And to me, it's become more visible, more clear for me, an example of what tenacity and, you know, dedication, hard work, what that can become, you know, in the long term.
Hey, this is Epicenter NYC. We connect our communities to news, information, and each other. I'm your host, Amber Castillo. On weekend nights, Puerto Viejo and Prospect Heights is packed with New Yorkers and visitors alike. Many stay for hours, sipping Morir Soñando and eating sancocho, while chatting with friends or longtime restaurant staff. The restaurant, which was founded in 1986 by the Abrupt family, has been a community staple for decades. But like many neighborhoods across the city, the past four decades have been marked by growth and gentrification, and Prospect Heights is no exception. So following a fire in 2011, the Abrus decided it was time to change. The community is now filled with condos, coffee shops, and cafes. So to survive amid the new, mostly white neighbors, Puerto Viejo had to adapt. Today, I sit down with Marita Abreu, the daughter of founders Cristina and Eduardo Abreu, to learn more. Marita is now in charge of marketing and events for the family restaurant, and her parents' work has also inspired her to start a business of her own, a hot sauce company called Pisqueya.
Well, honestly, the origin of Pisqueya came up, I mean, the beginnings of Pisqueya came about because I saw a lack of Caribbean representation in the food space and seeing how much our restaurant is beloved by so many people, not only in the Brooklyn area, but all the tri-state area, people travel. So seeing how much our flavors were seeked, but yet not accessible in a global food space is what really inspired me to start Pisqueya. But my attention went to creating a brand. I was not in the entrepreneur space prior to starting Pisqueya. I was in corporate, in finance, and it was a fire when my parents lost their business. Because they've been there since 86. So it's been, I mean, it's an institution at this point, right? But in 2012, there was a fire and we lost the business. We were shut down for a year. I got involved to help them restart the restaurant, helping them more with all the admin and administrative work they needed to get the restaurant going again. And in that process, we decided to, the neighborhood was changing. It was gentrifying. And so my brother, who was more hands-on with the restaurant, had been noticing the, you know, the changes, and he thought it would be a good opportunity to make it more of a sit-down or more of an establishment where people can come and have an experience versus just grabbing food to go, which is what it was for many years. And so in that process of adding a service component to the establishment is when I discovered the power of food and just seeing how much our flavors were loved, seeked, and the support my parents had during that time while they were shut down and the welcoming that they received when reopened was quite a big moment for me. And so I decided to forge ahead with Pisqueya. And I named it Puerto Viejo, although the recipe, you know, I started with our family hot sauce, our smoky hot. It's called, I branded it as a smoky hot picante, Pisqueya brand under the Pisqueya umbrella. But that's my family recipe. That's my mom and, you know, and her, my brother's, my uncle, who's her brother, still in the kitchen, works in the kitchen. Together, they came up with this family recipe of a hot sauce made with a Caribbean grown Scotch bonnet peppers from the Dominican Republic. So they have been offering this sauce forever. And then because I was then helping my family with like marketing and seeing all the Yelp comments and just seeing the flood of messages coming through about our hot sauce, it's what led me to start with that product first. And we had the recipe already on site. So our smoky hot sauce is the family recipe that we still offer at the restaurant. And it's it fills a gap in the market of within the hot sauce category because it's a hot sauce with sabor, with flavor, versus it being filled with vinegar or salt. Mm-hmm. So that's how I started the journey. I started with the hot sauce, and then I've been packaging all our flavors from our kitchen, the Dominican kitchen in Brooklyn, to now having 10 products under the umbrella.
That's interesting because you don't, Dominican cuisine, as far as, you know, my experience is not so associated with spiciness or hot sauce. So I'm wondering how you introduce that within your own, like, you know, maybe Dominican customers. And
yeah, so interestingly enough, it's true that Dominicans don't consume hot sauce in the same fashion that maybe Mexicans do. We don't add hot sauce to our dishes. But if you're Dominican, you'll know that every tia or abuelita has a bottle of homemade hot sauce in their fridge for the particular dishes that require an extra kick of picante, of heat. Whether it's Dominicans like eating a lot of stews, and there's specific stews that require heat. But those hot sauces are very, like, flavorful. It's not, again, filled with, like, a lot of, you know, salt or vinegar. And so, for example, we also have certain dishes that are staple in our community, like sancocho, that you won't have without a hot sauce. Like, it's a natural.
I didn't know that. I'll have to ask my family, and because my experiences of sancocho didn't involve hot sauce. So I'm learning.
Yes, your sancocho comes with rice, avocado, and hot sauce. And so while it's not, we're not known, again, for being hyper spicy, culture. Again, we are very particular about our hot sauce and how we use it. And that's what makes it a very special sauce, because of the premium quality it has, made artisanal quality for that reason.
And did you grow up also going back home to where your parents are from, like that particular place in DR? Or what was your experience with cuisine outside of the restaurant?
Yeah, I grew up, fortunately enough, my parents always made it a point to bring us back to the Dominican Republic, to our homeland every summer. So it literally marked the calendar as soon as school started. It was like counting down the days. My family's from the mountainous side of the DR. Jarabacoa, in the Cibao region. And mm-hmm. So being able to have that connection with the island has definitely impacted my inclination towards, like, giving back to the country and still being, you know, deeply rooted. My deep roots of being a Latin Caribbean, Dominican American comes from that for sure.
And then what would you say, because you had mentioned gentrification before, how did you say that correlated with certain changes you made? I know you spoke, you alluded to kind of the sit down, more of that sit down form of the restaurant. Were there other changes alongside that like when, you know, because of the changing neighborhood demographics or customer base that you guys made, especially after the fire?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of changes came about. One in particular was the need to educate people about our cuisine. So many of the new people, you know, people that were coming into the neighborhood weren't familiar with Latin Caribbean flavors, or they expected it to be Mexican. They were coming in thinking, you know, they were going to find nachos and margaritas. And that wasn't the case. So it was that component of educating, so much so that we decided to, make our menu super detailed and even pair certain dishes as they're meant to be consumed. For example, concon. We had it as a side dish and people were having the concon on its own. They didn't know what it was, you know, the crunchy rice. And so we decided to pair it. And if you order concon now, it comes with a side of beans, which is how we consume concon. You top it with beans or the bean broth. We saw that change there. Whereas before the remodeling, which is more of a kitchenette, right? And our consumers were of Latin Caribbean backgrounds or a lot of Haitians, but they were familiar with our flavors. And so there wasn't that need to explain or describe what these dishes were, you know, where they came up, what are they, you know, or how they taste, how you eat these dishes. So yeah, I would say that was one big change.
Yeah. Could you describe a little more, elaborate on some of those, how you've seen the neighborhood landscape changing?
Oh my gosh, so much. So my father always shares his anecdote. When he opened up the restaurant 86, that same day, he also opened up his first life insurance policy, because it was a very dodgy area. It was very industrial. And after 6 p.m., you didn't want to be in the neighborhood. It was just not known to be a safe place. And so then we just saw the condos come in and slowly the coffee shops and cafes. Now it looks very different from, you know, those days when I would go to the restaurant in the 90s and early 2000s.
And how did that change how you see the role of the restaurant in the neighborhood? Did that change that at all?
It became just more, more clear, like the pillar of that, you know, that this family establishment is to the community. You know, to have a long-standing restaurant still serving authentic food in this community that has gone through many changes, people are shocked when they walk in. They can't believe that we've been there for so long. So it's a pillar in the community. And to me, it's become more visible, more clear for me, an example of what tenacity and, you know, dedication, hard work, what that can become, you know, in the long term. So whereas before it was just a place for sustenance for both my family and the people that would come to the restaurant, now it's a place of celebration and family legacy and also a showcase of deep cultural roots in the heart of New York City.
Definitely. So I was trying to understand the situation now. Your mom, I think, was saying that she works almost every day or 6 days a week. Like she's still, because I saw how hands-on she was, like in the kitchen or like, you know, and yeah, by the counter. And then your brother who came later as well. So are they the two family members who are mostly like, you know, hands-on, like physically in the business? And how often are they there?
Yeah, the restaurant is open Monday through Saturday. We're closed on Sundays. My father was the one that was very hands-on until he decided to retire. And now he's just my mom's chaperone, but he's not hands-on at all. My mom took on that role and she loves it. She, you know, she like every Dominican parent, they'll complain or, you know, they'll nag about things, but she adores being there and loves that she's grateful that she has the vitality to still be able to serve. Her people who have now become her family, because she's seen kids grow up in her restaurant that's now come that they, you know, they would either were students at the school across the street. Now they're coming with their own families. And so my mom and my brother Eduardo are really the ones that are there. If you go to the restaurant, you'll see one of the other at the restaurant.
Wow. Yeah. And then your own entrepreneurship journey, like I know you said you weren't in those spaces. Was there something about your parents starting this business that, you know, even though it's a very different business, that, you know, that gave you some of those tools or, you know, just watching that unfold that gave you some of the tools to start Pisqueya?
1,000%. You know, I always had that entrepreneurial spirit. I knew it inside of me. And I know it comes from just that lineage of my family. My father, even before he opened up a restaurant, he back home where he's from, he was a teacher, but he also had a side hustle of selling lottery. And so he, you know, so him, them too also come with that, you know, I feel like I get that from them, from my parents. And just seeing their dedication and their effort and the sacrifices they made to build this family establishment has definitely taught me those skills that are needed to build a company from the ground up, which is essentially what I've done with Pisqueya, not having any experience into the CPG space, which is very different from a restaurant. And now building, you know, and I've built a culture forward brand just with limited resources. I also didn't start with like, you know, a lot of capital or seeding money and all that. So it's because of this example of tenacity, of superación, the word in Spanish is coming to me, of just focus, you know, and this desire to just reach your goals, which is what they did. They came to America with very clearly defined goals and they've met them all. And so it hasn't been easy, but I've seen them in that journey of whether it's like a snow day and they have to open up the doors at 8 a.m. at the time. Now we open a little later. So yeah, for sure, they've been the reason why I've been able to build this company.
Definitely. So my last question is just what does being involved with Puerto Viejo, what does your family's business mean to you? Like, what is that? Yeah. What does being a small business in both Pisqueya and Puerto Viejo mean to you?
Wow, that's a loaded question. What does it mean to me? It means belonging. It means love. It means American dream. It means progress. It means so much. And I'm fortunate that I'm an extension of my family have built, and I'm in a position to forge ahead with what they've already built and continue on.
Yeah. And just to follow up on that, is there a particular like powerful memory of you, you know, either, you know, in the restaurant or working on this that has a lot of meaning to you?
Yeah, it was the one powerful moment was when we reopened our doors after this fire and seeing a full house. That moment to me was an awakening of just the power of food and how it unites us all. And it's the moment when I decide to, my curiosity peaks of, okay, there's more to this. And at the moment, I know what it, that would become. But it was a moment when my curiosity just sort of like went into the direction of food. That was a very powerful moment.
Puerto Viejo is located at 564 Grand Avenue in Brooklyn, and they're open Monday through Saturday. To check out their menu or learn more, you can find them at puertoviejonewyork.com. And if you want to give Pisquilla a try, you can order it online, buy it at the restaurant, or even find it at select grocery stores across the city. Finally, if you know of a local business that you think Epicenter should feature, let us know. Drop us a note at hello@epicenter-nyc.com. That's all for today. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting us as we do our best to support our community. We couldn't do it without you. For more stories like this, make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at epicenter-nyc.com. Our intro music is All the Pretty Horses by Cara Vica. You can find more of their music on their website, linked to in our podcast description.